Quel'Thalas Loss shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings.
For the good of all.
Brumcar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control-Alt-WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is episode 36, recorded on Friday, August 31st, 2007, entitled Guilds, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. I'm Aprilian of the Earthen Ring server, and I'm here with...
Glanther, also of the Earthen Ring server.
And welcome to Control-Alt-WoW. So today we're going to be talking about guilds, and this was motivated by an email that we received, and we'll get to that later. But first, we'll start with our usual opening topic, which is what we've been doing. Do you want to start, Glanther?
Sure. So Alaris, who's my now level 42 Draenei Paladin, level 42, he got his mount, so that's incredibly cool. He was running around with his little mount. And I keep promising that I'm going to go back to my other alts, but he had a lot of rested experience. And he was 40, and then he was really close to 41. And then once you hit 41, you're so close to 42. And when you reach those even numbers for your levels, that's when you get new abilities. And I kept thinking, oh, only 10 more bars until 42. Only 5 more bars to 42. But now that he's actually 42, I really have not played him in a few days. And when I get some time in, you know, from away from real life stuff, I'm going to go back to Morian, who's my level 30 Blood Elf. And I'm going to go back to Horde for a little bit and kind of play with that. And Glanther is currently in Ironforge inside of the warrior compound there, waiting to start to have some fun in Alterac Valley. Having Aprilian talk about Alterac Valley, all of those episodes, made me itch to go there myself. So I'm very, very excited about going there. And then hopefully I'll be able to get my fast mount that way, even though it's still going to cost a lot of gold to get my riding skill up. I figured, you know, it'd be nice to have a Stormpike battle charger, and I can always get my 50 marks of honor from Alterac Valley and then go to Outland and level up there a little bit and get the money there.
And this is on Alaris?
This is this is Glanther now. Alaris is 42.
Okay, and Glanther is
a 62 dwarf hunter.
Oh, and you'll get your marks really quickly because everybody knows Alliance rules it. AV.
Yeah, AV, I'll get 3 at a time, so it should only take me a couple days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I think that's an interesting topic to discuss, too, because I've been reading about the fact that some people believe that Alterac Valley favors Alliance. And as I've been telling you, when I've been playing, that I've found that the Horde won a lot. And I don't know if it's really unbalanced, or if it should be unbalanced. I think maybe there should be certain battlegrounds that...
Arathi Basin definitely is geared more towards the Horde. I've never won Arathi Basin.
And I think that's okay. I don't think everything has to be perfectly even across the board. I think there has to be some benefit. Here's something. Just a side note that I thought was funny that came up in Guild Chat today, and I wanted to discuss. Somebody was asking if there was a poison trainer in Thunderbluff, a poison vendor in Thunderbluff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't think there was one because there are no rogues on the Taurens.
Well, you know what? They have a druid trainer,
right,
in Silvermoon City. So,
but and there aren't elf paladins.
No. Not for a druid. No, a blue eye, a blood elf can't be a druid. Only a tauren can be a druid.
And there is a druid training in
She's rate by the entrance to the main bazaar.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, so maybe there is a poison vendor in Thunderbolt.
They're usually hidden away and they're not readily apparent.
Mm.
You kind of have to know where to go.
So what else have you been doing?
I've also been kind of thinking about what would be the best way to play Alaris, who's my paladin, there, I've gotten to the point now where I have three really good blessings that I can do. Blessing of Might, which gives me added attack. Blessing of Kings, which gives me plus 10% on all of my stats. And also Blessing of Sanctuary, that does damage reduction. And also every time that I block, it does holy damage. And because I'm a protection paladin and I have so much already dedicated to like making my shield as powerful as possible and to try and get blocking up as much as possible, it makes sense to get some extra holy damage in there with my Blessing of Sanctuary.
Right.
But while I was on the tubes researching, I find that most people that play protective paladins don't like Blessing of Sanctuary. They say that it's Kings, and then they say after that, Blessing of Might.
Mm.
And so I've kind of come across that whole, if everyone says that it's the right thing to do, is it the right thing to do? Because so far I haven't seen any big gain or boon from using any one over the other. So
is that one prettier than the other? Because I know being a paladin is all about the shiny.
It is about the shiny. It's kind of funny that you talk about that. It's not like the warrior about the nitty gritty. It's all about having like the pretty lamellier plate medals and the crystal arrangements on and your
that
armor.
Little splash of like a Tinkerbell thing that happens when you bring that hammer up and down or whatever.
It's very manly. It's very manly fairy dust. Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
But
yeah, that's the thing. Do you what everyone does? And if you do, I mean, what? I don't know. Of course, you want to get the best performance that you can get. And of course, there are people out there that have searched it. In fact, as you said, with that theory craft, there's even people who go by the numbers. And, you know, sometimes I find myself, like, going by ridiculous things and being laughed at for it. For instance, my Ardrion will pick an outfit. Not because of the stats associated with it,
but how it looks.
Right.
Well, I'm of the same mentality, which is why I guess that I'm not like an end game raider kind of person, where you have to spend hours kind of looking at this character, and you want them to look good.
Right.
Because especially the fact that you look at their backside all day, you know, you want to make sure they have a nice flowing cape that has lots of pretty colors. You want to make sure that they. That their mount looks really awesome, and I spend so much time when I'm on the Griffin just kind of spinning around and looking at a 360-degree you know, view of your character and being like, yeah, that's awesome.
Right, exactly. Or, like, the other day, I had the... Black Ogre Kickers that I got from the ogres in Altrak Mountains.
Altrak Highlands.
Yeah. It's actually Crushbridge Hold, the cave there where my miner holds up in. And I was offering them to somebody, and they said that I use them on my hunters, because my hunter wants to get 40, they can wear this mail. And I just think it's cool, and it looks cool, and then I found out that it didn't have the right specs. You know, it had strength and int, and didn't have something that's important for hunters.
They didn't have stamina, agility, or intellect.
Right.
Well, intellect is important for hunters now.
Right, yeah.
At higher levels, anyway.
And I guess that's kind of what makes the game makes you be more powerful. Although, you know, sometimes I switch stuff around and I forget to... I put my scarf on Ardrion and I forget to put his helmet back on, or his hat, the proper hat with the proper stats on it. And, I mean, I don't notice that much of a difference in performance. I don't see him die that faster, but I guess it's better to hit good than to look good. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I kind of have to kind of agree with that. But there are certain, at least with my paladin, that there are a lot of give and takes when it comes to the blessings. And, like, the way that you can play it. So, for example, if I do Blessing of Kings, then his intellect goes way up, and I have a lot more mana to use. But it's not as powerful, you know, every time I hit. if I use Blessing of Sanctuary, then I don't get as much mana, I don't get as much power, but every time someone does hit my shield when I block it, then they get, like, 40 holy damage, and then when I use Blessing of Might, I just wail on the person, because I do a lot of damage. I do 40 points more damage using Blessing of Might than I do without it. That's a lot, I think, for a level 42.
Yeah, it is. And maybe I should pay more attention to the stats on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but sometimes it's just about the shiny or the pretty and not the hits so much. Especially when you're doing alts and you're not playing a hardcore type game.
Yeah, but none of my guys will ever get to 70, I think. I'm just resigned to it. I'm going to, of course, buy Wrath of the Lich King when it comes out, but I'm never actually going to go to Northrend. I'll never be high enough level to get there. But, oh well.
It's all about having fun. Well, I've been doing a few what I think are interesting things. I've been trying to level up some characters that I hadn't been playing that much. I decided to finally start playing my Rogue, but first let me just go over a couple of things. Ardrion, who's a level 28 hunter, and he got a crocodile in Wailing Cavern, and I hadn't seen this particular pet on many hunters, but it's one of those, I thought they were albino, but they're really kind of gold or pale, shiny yellow, and he's actually a very good pet. He's the first time I've gotten a crocodile on a hunter, and I've had a lot of hunters. And I think they're great pets. I don't know if the stats are on them, but...
I didn't think you could tame elite beasts. Was he an elite beast?
No, he's not an elite beast.
Oh, okay.
In Wailing Cavern... Yeah, but there are elite beasts you can change.
Really? I've not...
Yeah, because Akira is elite.
Like the elite cat that's in...
Yeah, yeah. But this one wasn't elite, but it was the level 19, and shoots out of the gate pretty fast when he goes after a mob, and he seems to hold up his own as far as holding aggro. So I've been very happy with this white crocodile, and Ardrion loves it too because white matches everything. He doesn't feel like he clashes at all. He has a green Ravager, but he doesn't like the way it looks with his red outfits. Makes him look like Christmas.
Yeah, white and black match everything.
Yeah. So, Ardrion was trying to complete some quests in 1,000 Needles, mainly because he's 28 and the crocodile was 19, and he really just wanted to get some nice quests that would level up the crocodile. And so he was doing pretty well, but then he started getting to a point where he was getting killed a lot, and he decided to bring it in Aprillion to help, and that worked out pretty well, except they got to the one part where you had to operate the robot in Moonwell right on the edge of Feralus, and they kept dying. So they brought in Trishel, and Trishel was able to clear out mobs, mm-hmm. and they were able to do it and everything. And that was really neat. And then they went to, they got the note from the assassin, and they took out, they protected that Torin that's in, have you done any of these in 1,000 Needles?
No, 1,000 Needles is like a major horde
right.
quest zone. I've
yeah.
never...
Morion is probably is at that level.
But like the thing is that he's right now, he's on the Eastern Kingdoms going through all of like the undead quest things.
Okay.
It's really very cool because for every race that you have, you know, there's like all these quests that are kind of geared
right.
around that race, and I'm sure that, you know, the trolls and the tauren and the orcs, they spend all their time in Kalimdor, but the blood elves and the undead, there's all sorts of quests against the Alliance in the Eastern Kingdoms.
Cool. And it's nice that you have an option, and that's the nicest thing about having alts, is that you do end up with a bunch of choices and a bunch of different places mm-hmm. you can go to. Okay, so like I said, I decided to pull out my rogue. I have a rogue and a warlock who are just basically tradesmen for me. The Iwari, who's the warlock, she's a level 44, and she's about to ding 45, and what's really funny is she's been in Crushbridge Hold since she was like level 37, which is...
But you can't get any more experience from those.
There's a couple of mobs. There's a level 36 mobs that she can get experience from.
Like 200 experience each time. Well, you must have killed that guy like 8,000 times.
I swear.
Oh, my.
I know. It's horrible.
It's like that episode of South Park where they have to go kill boars.
Right, yeah.
65 million of them in order to level up.
You know that's not logical. TV logic.
TV logic.
Yeah, but she mines these ores, and three times a week, she sends a whole bunch of mithril and iron and rocks back to my main, and some true silver sometimes, which is funny because I got alchemy on Trishel, and one of the things she got was to transmute mithril to true silver. She can do it once every one day in 22 hours. And I don't understand what the benefit is, because I know it's easier to get mithril than to get true silver, but still, it seems like if it was that big a deal and that good, it should be a lesser of a turnaround. Maybe there was a time when true silver was really rare and you needed to transmute.
What's the rarest one now? Is it fell iron?
Yeah, I think so. Fell iron. Or no, Eternium or Eternium or something. Eternium. Of course, we don't have anybody up that high to know what that is. So, anyways, I had her out for the first time. I had, and my other tradesmen, our warriors one, and Vale is the other, and she's basically been doing blacksmith and enchanting, and she's really been good at getting her enchanting up, and what's kind of neat is some of the things that she makes as a blacksmith, she can disenchant, a green item, so she can disenchant. And I've been sending her stuff, and she's been disenchanting stuff, and she had a bunch of shards and a bunch of dust and stuff, and she's gotten her enchanting up to 285 now.
Jeez, how do you get enchanting that high? My enchanting on Morian is like 110.
It's very slow. And I've tried to avoid the re-enchanting because that's almost sacrilege to an enchanter. You know, the re-enchanting.
Oh, I did that.
Yeah.
Because if I'm like one away from learning a new one, I'll just re-enchant the same thing.
That should always be your last ditch effort. And she did do her first stand on top of the bank in Ogrimmar and shout out in trade, doing enchant, you know. And I always feel so dirty. And I'm doing that. I don't know why. If you can relate to this, please email us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. And tell me why this might make me feel bad, or why I feel bad for people to do it. But I guess that's what you're supposed to do. It's like
I have the same thing when I need to do a group quest, and I have to. I'm so nervous about saying the LFG.
I don't mind looking for a group. It's just that saying I'm standing here and I can perform this particular act just sounds so whorish.
Yeah, it's just the world's oldest profession.
Yeah,
enchanting. All right.
But she did it, and the other thing is I never know what to charge. But because she was trying to level, she didn't care. She probably was giving away. She was giving away. Let me see if I can find it real quick, because I do have them on RPG Outfitter, which is very good for looking at your alts when you're not on. I think I talked about RPG Outfitter on a different episode, and it's nice because once you log in all your accounts, you can see all your alts really easily. And she was doing... Let me see. She was doing enchanting greater spirit. Yeah, she was doing enchanting bracers greater intellect and bracers greater stamina. And she was doing something else really high. And so it was great because she'd said it in chat, and the new link, have you seen the new linking? You can now link a recipe and it'll bring up all the materials, which was great. They did that a few patches ago. And and because it was, she was using it to level up, she didn't bother, you know, charging anybody. She just says, I accept tips. And people came up and they opened up the trade and dropped the thing in, and she made about 10 or 15 gold doing like 8 of these. So it was great. So she leveled up, and I got to the point in where she could then I had a couple of new recipes. And that was the other thing I wanted to talk about. She got some new recipes because she had Aunt Rilia. There were 3 recipes that she saw on the auction house. And I think, let me see if I can find them really quickly. And I'm not going to try to find them. I'll try to write it in the show notes if I can. But if I can't, please forgive me. But they were enchants that were, 2 of them were located in Winter Spring and Everlook from a trade vendor, and the other one was located in Moonglade. And on the auction house, they were very expensive. And I have no problem with anyone who travels into a higher area, particularly Moonglade and Winter Spring, because to get to both of those,
you have to go through rough mobs.
Right, you have to go through Timber Maw. You have to get, sometimes the best way to do it is to grind rep, and grinding rep with the Timber Maw to go through that tunnel is a big deal. So if you make a profit off of that, then you deserve to charge 15 gold for a 2 gold recipe. I have no qualms with that. But if you have the benefit of having higher alts, is that you can send one of them to get that to you. Oh, the other way you can do it, you can get to Moonglade.
By being a druid.
No. Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can just teleport there.
From either side?
From anywhere, yeah.
No. I mean from Alliance or Horde. Yeah. But you can also get there during the Lunar Festival.
Yes, you can.
Yes, which is always nice. But, you know, if you don't know what you're looking for, probably at the time of the Lunar Festival, then you won't, you know, be able to do it or get there. But, like I said, since you had to go through so much trouble, it was great. But having an upper level alt is great. And, you know, and then being able to share it. In fact, if you think about it, your first alts or your upper level alts are kind of like your starter alts.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, a starter house. You know, you learn, you get to understand, you get to know how to use the interfaces and everything. And it makes you a better player for the next serious character. So Aunt Rilia got these recipes, and they were like level 2. She had to be 285 to get it, so she gave away all these enchants and got to 285. And there's nothing as refreshing as using a recipe that you have in your inventory that you can finally get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you rush and you open it and you do that little shh, and it's just such an awesome sensation. So Vale got up, you know, she's been used to being my enchanter. She's been used to, I send everything that needs to be enchanted, boots and stuff, before for people on her account, especially before they wear them. And then any of my other 2 accounts, she can go to a person and enchant them, and that's great. So I thought, you know, she deserves to get out and actually be a rogue and not just a blacksmith and an enchanter. And one of the things I wanted her to do was learn how to lockpick. She's at level, again, I'm using RPG Outfitter to tell me what her skills are.
Yeah, I'm sitting here watching Ibrillion work on her computer, and it's like watching someone working for NASA who's controlling the shuttle coming back down. It's this amazing process. If we ever did a video cast, you'd all be astounded by her.
We'll have to do that one day, especially showing my 3 screens and my 27-inch
monitor. Oh, my goodness.
Monitor. But, yeah, her lockpicking was 118 before earlier today. And I wanted her to get higher because I had a couple of boxes, I think a thorium one and a, well, let me see, I can tell you exactly, because you can see them. Oh, a mithril lockbox and a, oh, her bags. Let's look at her bags. And, oh, I can't find it. But she had a mithril lockbox, and she has another lockbox that I want her to open up, but her skills aren't high enough. Now, I knew that she could, originally learn how to lockpick. She learned in Ratchet, mm-hmm. and then in Stone Talon Mountains, out there in that field where all the venture mining people are, there's mm-hmm. a bunch of boxes. But I finally figured out the secret to really getting her lockpicking up. And I knew it had something to do with pickpocketing. And, you know, having so many alts, it's hard to really focus on the information mm-hmm. for...
Like one particular one.
Right, especially the secondary ones. I consider my hunter to be the one that I'm most informational about. And I guess after that would probably be my warlock, mm-hmm. you know. And then probably after that would... I think after that would be a tie between the rogue and... maybe the priest? But no, I don't really do the priest a lot. But, so I haven't been... There's a lot of information out there, and it's easy to get. So there was really no reason that I didn't really understand this whole thing with the pickpocketing and how it correlates to lockpicking. Do you know?
I've never played a rogue.
You never played a rogue? Okay, well, this is what happens. They go around pickpocketing people, which always terrified me. Because you get up close to a mob, and I love the way Blizzard has done this. Because as long as you're behind the mob... You're okay. But as you know, mobs don't just stand there. They constantly, they've got, I'm going to digress for 1 second. One of my favorite little tales about twitching around is Meadow. Do you know who Meadow is on The Sopranos?
No, I never watched The Sopranos.
She's the daughter of Tony Soprano. And as an actress or actor, the actor that plays her was anorexic. And I remember her saying that one of the things she used to do is when she was just standing around on the set, she would move around a lot because she would fidget, thinking as long as she was moving, she was burning calories. And when I see these mobs and the way they move around, I'm thinking, are they fidgeting? They're trying to lose weight? Because, you know, sometimes they're just standing there, then they just all of a sudden turn. So when you're a rogue, it's kind of scary going up to a mob because even though you think there's a pattern, they can turn. Have you ever watched the mob, any particular mob?
Yeah,
they kind of walk, but then they have a little bit of a change in each pattern. And plus, when you're in stealth and you're waiting, you're sitting there watching, and you want to get on this. Because when you're a hunter, it's go in, bam, shoot them, bam, 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 kill them. The sneaking up, getting behind them, and then if you get in with a certain range and they discover you or suspect you, they make a little noise. They go, And different ones make different sounds, but they make, They make a little noise that go, is there somebody there? And if you stay really close to them, they can discover you, or you stay in front of them. If you have to move back really quickly, and it's exciting. You feel like your blood pressure goes a little bit, your heart rate gets up, and so you back away, and then you get behind them and you pickpocket them, and you know, ideally, you know, usually if you do that, then you go ahead and sap them, or what's the other thing where you hit them and you start to fight them. What's that thing? Oh, gosh. Now I'm going to have to go and look at her skill bars. But it's kind of exciting, and it's kind of neat, but you can go and you pickpocket them, and you get money, and sometimes you get items. But today, Vale was with Real Fire in Razor Fin Down, I want to say. Am I saying it?
Mm-hmm.
Razor Fin Down, right. There's two of them. There's Razor Fin Crawl and Razor Fin Downs. Right. And you're fighting these quill boars. And she was pickpocketing them. And she was level 37. And they're 34 through 41. And some of them are elite. Most of them are elite. And she was getting money, shiny rocks, and worn lock boxes. Not everyone gave a lockbox, but out of, I'd say, pickpocketing 12, she got about 8 worn lockboxes.
Oh.
And these lockboxes, she uses pick lock skill. She doesn't have to use a key. Sometimes if something's you can't unlock on a rogue, you can use a key. Because she's a blacksmith, she can make keys, so that was really handy. I lucked out by picking blacksmith and enchanting for her, because it works out really well. Though, if she didn't have alts to do other things, it probably wouldn't be the main professions you'd pick for a rogue. But anyways, every time she opened or used pick lock on these worn lock boxes, she got a point up. So now she's like up to 126 from 118. And all she has to do is keep going and doing this and then go on to the next level of mobs. And she gets these a different level of lock boxes, but that's how it does, how it goes. And it was like an epiphany, and I was very excited. And I know there are you rogues out there going, duh, why didn't she know that? But that's the beauty of World of Warcraft and having alts, is that you discover all these little nifty things, and it makes the game fun for you. And that's the whole name. The whole
nature of it, yeah.
Of the game. Okay, so that's what I've been doing this week. And, oh, I did one other thing. And I absolutely love this. I had been, you know, I have an Alliance character. And she's on in Exodor. And she's the one that sells my dragon hatchlings and my cockroaches and my prairie dog whistles and the snakes that you get from that cool guy in Orgrimmar, that cool troll. And, you know, she sits there and she sells these things and she sells them. And, you know, I talked a little while back how I had been transferring the money to my horde people, but I lose 15% every time I do that. And so now instead she just holds onto the money until there's a need for some goods. And there's no logic to it. There are things that will be on the horde side that will be expensive and wicked cheap on the Alliance side. And this week it was Primal Earth. I was looking for Primal Earth because I wanted to get some mining bags made up. I have, you know, a lot of alts that are just storage alts. And the mining bag that you can get from a leather worker can make, I think they have to be revered with some clan. I think the Magra clan, and I think it's something in Winterspring. And it seems to be a hard, long quest. But you need four Primal Earths to do it. So I was looking for Primal Earth, and on the Horde auction house, they were 14 gold a piece.
Wow.
Yes. That's like 28.56 gold, you know, for and then you still have to get the knot hide leather and the probably some kind of thread. So I went and looked on the Alliance side, and they were 4 gold a piece. In fact, I ended up finding 20 for 65 gold.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, that was crazy. So, Tay, who I named before the Chocolate Rain thing came out. And we're not even going to talk about Chocolate Rain because I can't stand talking about it. I think everybody else has talked about it enough. And, but I just said to say that because her name is Tay and it has nothing to do with that. And Glanther is sitting here looking at me like,
I'm like, I have no idea.
And
all that's right.
Okay. You don't need to know. You can live your whole life and not know and be fine. And so, she sent the 65 Primal Earth to the Horde side, and my banker all got it. And within half a day, she kept 12, and she sold 8, and I put 8 up on the auction house and totally recouped more than the 65 gold back. So that was kind of cool. And, what else did I do? There's one other thing I want to talk about.
It's like those times and those kinds of things you just talked about where you really wish that there was a little bit more communication between Alliance and Horde.
No! I want people to stop that. People are trying to talk about there should be more communication between Alliance and Horde. You mess up my whole business plan. It's funny because did I talk about this last week that I went back to one of my old servers? Somebody had been bugging me with how to do it. Yeah, I don't want people to talk, because if a Horde Alliance talked more, then everybody would figure out where to get their dragon hatchlings, dragon hawk hatchlings, and you know, there's all that money.
Your business model aside, like think if you think about it, there are certain elements of, like, the Warcraft lore.
Right.
Where, you know, Jaina Proudmoore and Thrall are kind of, like, they're not necessarily the best of friends, but they'd be the kind of people that if they saw each other in a tavern, they'd sit down and, like, talk to each other, but they wouldn't necessarily go and do any type of quest together. But I think it'd be kind of neat to have, like, a general, like, room where you went to where there was, like, a diplomatic room. Kind of like a United Nations kind of thing. You'd send, like, a delegate there. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't only be able to talk about certain things.
Actually, you know, and I feel kind of guilty when this happens because I'm such an Alliance basher. But when Trishel was in Fellwood killing Timbermore, whatever, it's the bad Timbermore people. And there's one area, the one that's closest, that's further south where they are, mm-hmm. where they're kind of bunched together. And there'll be, like, three together or two together and around a campfire. And it's hard to, if you're soloing, to get in and get one without, you know, you shoot one and all of a sudden all their buddies are running and ganging up on you and then you're trying to get away and stuff. Well, the last time Trishel was there, there was, in two separate instances, there was Alliance who came to her aid. And then we started working together to the point where one would point, in this first instance, one would point at one of the Timbermore and then mark it. No, they weren't a hunter. They were something else. And then I would take out the one next to them. And then the second time this happened, it was a hunter, and they would put the little hunter mark on one, and I would put the hunter mark on the other one. And it was, you know, kind of neat, and we actually worked together, and then I felt bad because, you know, they're evil Alliance.
Oh, I have that happen all the time, and I actually do it myself. If you're running along and... It's part of the Alliance culture, actually. If you see somebody who's being wailed upon, you actually stop and you help them out. Unless you're, like, really low level, and then you kind of keep running really fast. But I do it all the time, and people do it. They help me out, too. Especially groups. I've been in trouble and had, like, a group of, like, level 70...
Horde?
No, level 70 Alliance characters.
Okay. Well, that's one thing.
That are obviously, like, going along doing their own thing. But they've actually stopped, and they spend some time helping me.
And you were Alliance.
I was Alliance. You
okay,
know?
Yeah.
But, like, I help out people, too. But, I mean...
I'm talking about this one's...
I've helped out Horde characters, too.
Oh. Yeah right.
Mm-hmm. I have. I mean, I don't see them very often.
Do you believe it?
Yeah.
And I've seen a few level 70 Alliance, but that was usually a crossroad when they were killing the...
Yeah, we make no reparations about crossroads. It's the one thing we love to decimate.
Well, just because you can take the boat in. All right, I guess that's enough of what we've been doing this week. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you. And we're going to go into our next segment. So we just kind of looked at the clock, and it looked like we did go a little bit long on what we've been doing. But I guess, you know, we get caught up in that thing. So we're going to head over to emails now. And our first email said, "Hey, Aprilian and Glanther. I was just wondering if in your next podcast you could talk about guild drama and how to handle it. Some people panic and go crazy at the thought of people leaving, like in AIE, and some just remain calm." And it's signed Vino from Alea Iacta Est. Okay, I really didn't know if I wanted to touch on this subject because this does kind of involve a little bit what went on in Alea Iacta Est. But we're going to just talk about guilds in general and not really do any really specific things.
Yeah, because... I mean, from the Alliance perspective, there's been guild stuff in my time playing, and it's one of those things where even though Horde and Alliance are completely different in almost every way, because they're played by people, yes. Sadly, people are all very similar when it comes to mass groups of social gatherings, so the same kind of stuff happens on both sides. So, let me... Just kind of start about...
Why don't we first talk about why do people join guilds?
Yeah. One of the reasons why I join guilds is that I like to be able to have a group of players that I feel, like, more connected to. Like, there's more they're not like pickup groups. I actually feel like I can create some kind of like in-game relationships with.
And a consistency.
Yeah.
It's a big world out there on a realm. You know, I'm not sure about the numbers of exactly how many people
it's over 100,000 per realm.
Per realm, yeah. So, you know, it kind of can make you feel kind of small and alone. And even though there are people that you will see and meet who will give you information, having that guild that you can talk to and find information from and kind of makes you feel less alone and less small.
Yeah, like Carl Sagan-y.
Yeah.
Wow.
There are billions and billions of
horde
or lions out there. So that's why you kind of, you know, and it's kind of funny when you're new and somebody offers you to join the guild. You also get that high school mentality again where you, oh, here I am, here's someone asking you to be a part of their group, be in the in crowd. Then you start to, and that's usually, your first guild is usually just
a learning experience. What's this thing about?
Right, yeah. Exactly. You know, and then, you know, you join this guild and then you find out, oh my God, that guy was crazy, or that was a kid, or, you know, I asked for help, and, you know, they tell me, oh, you have to give 5 gold. I wonder, are there any guilds that charge money to join?
I'm sure there are. Yeah. I would stay away from them, though.
Yeah, I remember Second Life and also EverQuest 2 when I tried it out. I had people come up to me and say, you can join our guild if you give us so many dollars. Or our group if you pay this money. And later on I realized it was a scam. I don't think I've ever had anybody ask me to give them money to join a guild. And,
is that a reportable offense?
Asking for money?
No, to join like a guild. I don't know, because Blizzard is really aggressive about...
No, I don't mean cash money.
Even like gold.
No, I don't think...
You don't think it is?
I think if somebody wanted you to... people ask for donations.
Because you can't call... Like, there are certain things... Like, you can't do certain... You can't say certain things, and you can't do certain things in the game without Blizzard saying that's inappropriate and flagging you.
Okay, well, why don't... if there are any listeners out there, let us know. Has anyone ever asked you for money to join a guild? And if you know if it's an offense. So anyways, you join a guild and you find out it's okay, or you join a guild because you know the people in real life, you know, and then, you know, eventually it becomes either you pick a goal and you want a guild that marries that goal, or, you know, kind of looks like something you want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that happens, like, you know, once you've learned more about World of Warcraft and you realize, wow, you hear about guilds that take down certain bosses or guilds that accomplish certain things and you join them. Or, in my case, you have alts and you want to find a way to organize them. And so I created a guild. And it's kind of difficult in the beginning because just to prevent anybody from just putting together a guild and having a guild of 3 or whatever, you have to get 9 other people, and they have to be unique people. They can't be 9 alts that you've created. Mm-hmm. Or if you had 2 accounts, 5 people from each alt or what, from each account. It's only 1 person from an account can sign a guild charter. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, you have to get these people to sign so that you can have the group. So I had to, obviously, with only 3 accounts, I still had to find 7 other people. But now that I have a guild for my alts, it makes it easier to keep them all organized. And also, another reason to have a guild, and this is kind of silly, and to join a guild, is to keep from being bugged to join a guild.
Amen to that. Yeah. Because you go and you are just kind of walking around, and somebody will kind of run by and just... If they're really immature, they'll throw out the guild charter for
right
you
in
to,
your face. Like,
to
you
sign.
Know, like, you got this piece of paper slammed across your forehead.
You're like, nope, no thank you.
Yeah, or, you know, people whisper
you. Like, hey, do you
want to
join our
guild?
We are a high-level guild. We're into fun raids, and we're into helping each other out. It's great, and they all do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, somebody the other day asked if there were any fun, active guilds, and, I responded, I have an active guild, but we're not fun.
Yeah.
No, it's such a cliche, you know. But, you know, that's the way the system works, and you have to just figure out how to find the guild that's best for you. And then once you find a guild, it's a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
A good guild needs good people. In order to be in a good guild, you have to be a good guild member. And it's not as easy as it seemed. And as much as I'd like to have a pat answer for Vino as far as his query about the guild drama, anytime you put a group of people together, there's going to be drama. And because of the anonymity
mm-hmm.
of World of Warcraft, which is, I think, multiplied because of the gameplay,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have drama. There's no way around it. And each instance is going to be different, and there's no set answer. Best thing you can do is make the decision that's best for you. And sometimes the decision that's best for you will also be best for your guild.
You know, in a kind of strange, twisted metaphor, it's kind of like breaking up with your first boyfriend or girlfriend or whatnot. Because usually you're 15, 16, you're in middle school, and you're like, no, it's not working out. Not working out. Are you going to stay with the same person all the way through your life? Probably not.
Right, you're not going to stay with the same guild the whole time you're with.
Yeah, because your goals will change. Right. For example, if you started a guild when you were level 40, and there was like a level 40 to 60 guild that did quests, and you completed all the quests, and you're now level 70, and you want to start doing raiding or end game stuff, that guild wouldn't be a good match for you anymore.
Or the reverse, if you were just a casual gamer, you don't want to get caught up in an end-game guild, because you're not going to have the time, you know, if you have family or kids or school or whatever. And sometimes I almost think that if you're in school, you really shouldn't be in a guild.
Yeah, and that includes college kids, too. We know you're out there. You should be studying. Yeah. You're paying a lot of money for that education.
That one Australian video, did you see that one where the mother was lamenting that the kid wouldn't stop playing, which I could understand why she just didn't turn the computer off. That would have been me.
Well, they have the parental controls.
Right. Well, if he doesn't give her the password, if he set up the account himself, chances are she doesn't even know enough. I don't think she would know enough to do parental control.
I wonder if you called Blizzard and you said, like, I am the parent.
No, well, there's a lot to go through for that.
Mm.
But he was saying, The interviewer was asking him, and he was playing at the time, why that something about he had been on for 16 hours straight. And the interviewer said, why were you on for 16 hours straight? And he said, my guild needed me on that long. And I can't see that. I can see somebody wanting to be there for the guild because they want to be able to say they were there for mm-hmm. the guild. But, you know, sacrificing personal life just to be a hero to a bunch of people on the internet is not...
You know, I've been thinking about the voice part that's coming into the next patch, and I've done the team speaks and things like that in the past. And the more I think about it, the more that I feel I myself would be actually a little less comfortable being in a guild where everyone could be...
Well, you know, the voice isn't going to be in guild chat.
It's not going to be in guild... It's
only going to be in party chat. So...
But even then, if you're still within, like, a guild, to actually start to hear these people...
Right.
Because then you really will feel like this person's a real person, you know, even though I have to go to bed so that way I can get up to go to work in the morning...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I can't let... Bill down.
Yeah.
Because Bill knows my name. I know him. He knows me.
Or you can hear the plea in his voice. Oh, I just got one.
Oh, come on. I didn't do one more thing.
I didn't think of that. That's interesting. Yeah.
Because it's so easy. If you're in the middle of, and I've done this before, I'm a terrible person, but I got all the way down into like the bottom of Black Rot Depths, and it was my own fault for thinking I could start an instance. It's a 4-hour instance at 8 o'clock at night, and say, look, it's 11:30, I'm out of here. And they're like, no, you can't go. And I just said, quit. You know, I just left. And you know, it was a terrible thing for me to do, but I got to work the next day and I didn't get fired. So in the long run, it was the right thing for me to do.
Yeah, and if somebody pressures you and you get kicked out of a guild, it's not a big deal. That's the other thing I wanted to dwell on. If you do, for personal reasons, have to leave a guild, it's not the end of the world.
No.
And the downfall and beauty of World of Warcraft and guilds and is that if you really think you've messed up in a guild because of your behavior, because of something you said, or some ninja-ing. Of course, I don't know anything about ninja.
No, not at all.
Stuff. You can go to another realm and start all over again and join another guild, and no one will know that you were that bad, and I'm doing air quotes here, that bad person that was in that other guild.
Eventually, they're going to have, like, Azeroth's Most Wanted, though, and you're going to start to see your...
Your
wanted picture.
But, you know, that's another thing that voice chat is going to bring up, is that, well, you know, I doubt if somebody will be able to say, oh, you sound like that guy from that other server who ninja'd and looted and whatever.
If they could remember you, then you have other... Then, like, they have either played the game way too much, or you have a wiretap on your computer or something like that. Exactly. And they're monitoring you.
All right, well, we have just broken a Control-Alt-Wow record. And we had one other quick email I wanted to read and touch on. And this one is from Marco, a.k.a. Dorum. And he's from the Wowbox podcast that will be coming to iTunes soon. That's a little plug for him. And he plays on the EU Ream, the Shadow Moon PvP server. And I give out kudos to you for playing on a PvP server. I really want to go back to a PvP server.
It's not for me.
Yeah, well, now that I know what the game's about and I know how to gank, I would love to get some little alliance blood on my hands. Marco says, I listen to your show every week. I find your podcast more cheerful than others, and I always have a smile on my face while listening to it.
Aww.
I know.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have two questions for you. The first one is, how can I make a good money in WoW while being a low-level Blood Elf Paladin level 16? I always find it hard to make gold fast. And then also, can you give me some advice on starting up a podcast and getting it out there? Keep up the good work on the podcast and keep those episodes coming for the Horde. From Marco. P.S. Sorry, Glanther.
It's okay. I'll forgive you until my paladin spends some time. I'm going to transfer to Shadowmoon just so that way I can... I'll dishonor points, but whatever.
Okay, Marco, I'm going to address the first question, and I'll send you an email about how I started the podcast. It's a lengthy thing. There's a lot of information on the internet. If I don't get to you before enough time before you start, you can find out a lot of questions just by doing a Google search. But as far as getting money, now, that's interesting. Money is funny in WoW. When you are low, you can never get enough. But once you get some, you get more. At level 16, you aren't supposed to have a lot of gold unless you have a higher level or alt. But I started over on a server and I picked professions that I liked. Two gathering professions, mining and herbalism. And yes, they are too hard to have together because you can only have one tracking at a time. Mm-hmm. But you can switch back and forth. Or, you know, once you really get your... herbalism you use to picking herbs, you'll kind of see them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you can always switch back and forth. And then I started selling stuff on the AH, and also during gameplay, you know, you'll get greens, sell them on the AH, and you know, at first you think, oh, 50 silver, that's not much, but just remember, 50 silver plus 50 silver make one gold.
I know it's funny how that works out.
Simplistic, but they start to add up, and then eventually you'll find a blue that you can auction, you know, and before you know it, you'll be making money. Believe me. If you do decide to get, just remember also that starting out, you can change your professions. So you might start with mining and herbalism, put a bunch of herbs on them on the A8, put some of your copper and stones, and then stash some away, and then later on you could change to jewel crafting. And in the beginning, just do jewel crafting and mining for the prospecting. You could do a little bit of leveling up, but don't focus too much on it, and then sell the gems that you get. And I mean, that's just one. There are many other combinations out there. But just remember, when you're 16, you're not going to have that much gold. By the time you're 30, gold will start to collect more and more. And then by the time you're 40, you'll actually have enough for your mount.
Yeah. Like the way that Alaris, he goes through and he spends like 20, 30 gold at a time. Just going through like shopping sprees or going through and getting abilities. I got down to 4 gold. I went from like 30 gold to 4 gold. Because I've got all these new abilities, and I got some new plate armor. And then, after an hour, I was back up to 20 after getting some stuff and putting it back on the auction house.
Right, and do not neglect your training, because your training is going to give you new abilities, which is going to let you kill mobs faster, which is going to let you make money fast, or loot faster, and it's going to make you able to get into areas which is going to make you level faster, which is also going to make you get into areas where you can get higher level items that you can then sell. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice cycle.
It's a feed forward, yes.
Yeah. So I guess that's the end of email. And we'll be right back. Gone on pretty long, Glantha, and I would apologize to our listeners, but I would really like to have an hour-long show as a regular show. What do you think?
Well, a lot of other podcasts have about an hour, and so it's a lot of podcasts I listen to are about an hour, so it's pretty normal.
No, I'm pretty glad we went on as long as
we had a lot to talk about today, so.
Yes, and we still have a little bit more. Because Asheo has another episode of Duel Boxing. This is episode number 4. And we've listened to her. We don't want to give it away, but it was very interesting. He brings up some really good points. And I'm going to have to talk to Asheo and ask, what should I call? What pronouns should I use? And I would love to have Asheo on the show to talk about what it's like to have a female character. Being obviously, the person behind Asheo is a male.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an interesting interview.
Yeah, I find that a lot of men play female characters.
I only play one male character.
Yeah, I was gonna say like a lot of females probably play female. Characters
as opposed to playing male characters. But anyways, here's Asheo with Duel Boxing tip number 4, and you can reach Asheo at asheo.wow@gmail.com. That's Ashayo. .ww@gmail.com, and you can reach us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltww@gmail.com, and
you can reach me directly at Glanthur, GLANTHUR @gmail.com.
And here's a Shayo.
Greetings, adventurers. Asheo back again from AIE with my dual boxing brothers, Jekyll and Hyde. My setup has changed somewhat for the better since the last installment. I have a shiny new Core 2 Duo with 4GB of RAM and a Radeon X1950 Pro video card and a brand new 22-inch widescreen. So I'm now dual accounts rather than dual boxing. That's right, you can happily run WoW twice on the same PC. And with an increase from about 10 frames per second to 120 frames per second, WoW is significantly more enjoyable, if that's at all possible. And with the boasting over, we'll get on with covering some details on setup of the screen layout and macros. So, after playing around for a bit, I've settled on Hyde, the Hunter, being the lead toon, and Jekyll, the Druid, on follow most of the time. And it turns out that a Hunter and a Druid make a pretty good combination pre-level 40.
Hey, I hit 40 this week.
I'm talking about before this week, you nongs.
Sorry.
As I was saying, they make a good combination because a druid with feral swiftness can move as fast as the hunter with aspect of the cheetah. So we move around faster than normal running pace. The only downside to this combo is that they are both competing for leather gear. And now that they are level 40, Hyde can use Aspect of the Pack. And of course, Hyde's now using mail. One good tip is to make the follower, in this case the druid, a couple of levels higher than the lead, because it's easy to not notice that your second character has drawn aggro and you've run off on him. This is less likely to happen if the lead character is a slightly lower level. Also, in the advanced setup options of WoW, you can enable two right-hand toolbars. I've turned these on and used the add-on Fluid Frames to move one of them to the left side of the screen. Why? Well, you need to visualise it, but since I have the second monitor on the right of the primary monitor, there's much less screen real estate to move your mouse over to get to that macro buttons on the left-hand side of the screen. This toolbar has some simple shortcut macros to make driving the second character more efficient. For example, there's a follow macro that simply says, slash follow, hide. And after a fight, I just hit that so Jekyll tags along. There's also an assist macro that is simply slash assist, hide. This allows Jekyll to quickly target the current mob and start spamming Moonfire or Wraith. And the obligatory heal macros that are just two lines like slash target hide, followed by slash cast regrowth. And I have another that targets Urkel, which is Hyde's pet turtle. There's one annoying bug that crops up now and again. Instead of Jekyll seeing the turtle as Urkel, it shows up as Akamai Fisher, which is what it was before Hyde tamed it in Black Fathom Deeps. This makes the target command fail, and subsequently the regrowth command as well, which often results in the boys having turtle soup for dinner. One thing that really bugs me about the slash follow is that unless you are moving directly forward all the time, the following character inevitably is not facing the same direction as the lead character, which leads to the annoying target must be in front of you error when you try to attack. The easiest solution I've found for this is for your lead character to walk backwards a couple of steps, then take a step forward. This forces the follower to spin around and face in the right direction. There's also an extremely annoying bug with slash follow that is a popular topic on the WoW forums. That is, when on follow, you are much more likely to get disconnected from the server. I find this much more apparent indoors, and especially in instances. One theory is that the WoW client is having to send and receive a lot of data to figure out the whereabouts of the leader, which the server is not handling and resetting the connection. Let's hope Blizzard fix that one in the next patch. Until next time, farewell adventurers.
It's been real. May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.